Hey, Raja.
What up, Mom?
What you got good going on over there?
Nothing much. I'm just chilling, ready for another episode. How about you?
I'm chilling, too. It's time for my what? Hot chocolate.
Oh, yeah. They have white chocolate out now.
Ooh.
I'm pretty sure they had that before, but I've been seeing it.
I didn't know it was out now.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm going to try some with milk.
Any almond milk, maybe?
That's pushing it.
Hmm.
I don't know that I've boiled almond milk. I don't think I've cooked the almond milk before.
Probably need to try it out. You like that kind of stuff.
True.
I'm Angela DeMar.
I'm Raja the daughter.
And this is Talking Brown Sugar.
Yes, wherever you can find us, Facebook and Instagram at Talking Brown Sugar. On Twitter at Talking Brown Sug. You can also email us at talkingbrown.sugar@gmail.com. And guess what? We're now on YouTube. So you can find us, search Talking Brown Sugar. And you can find us there if you want to stream an episode while you're cooking, cleaning like you do now. Some people like to put stuff on their TV. We'll have more graphics and things coming out soon. So don't forget to share with your friends, your coworkers, your cousins. Let them know you're listening to Talking Brown Sugar. Rate us 5 stars if you enjoy the show on Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify Podcasts and wherever else you find us. Let us know what you're thinking and talking about. Send us some comments, or if you want us to discuss something that you've been thinking about or talking about with your friends and family, feel free to shoot us a comment, a note as well, in all those places. We're there. We're listening. We're chatting back with people. So thank you.
Thank you.
I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind them how we used to be.
That's the greatest song of all, sung by Whitney Houston
and Johnny Hathaway.
He wrote it, right?
Yes. Yep. Now we're in the sugar bowl. Self-checkout and scan and go. This is how I feel about it. Everybody got their own way they might feel about it. What? I don't really use it, but I have. But when I notice people be jumping from one line to another, they have like a few items, 2 or 3, and you don't know how to use it, the U-scans, and you think the people that stand up there with the Palm Pilots or the computer that resets places or for the different cash registers to let you go, just stay in line and wait a minute. Don't get over there and get frustrated. Because if you don't know what you're doing, just stay away from it. I like it sometimes. And I know some people feel like it's taking people jobs. You know what is really going on? They got all kinds of self-help robots and stuff going out besides the cashiers and less help, you know?
Yeah, I saw in some places they were getting rid of self-checkout. I did not remember where that's happening, but some places are reverting back to cashier-only options. But yeah, when you're self-checkout, it can be frustrating when you try to scan something and it doesn't come up. It's like, hey, I'm not trying to swipe this air fryer as a watermelon. It's just not working.
Don't do it, because they're watching.
What was your other one you wanted to talk about, going fast?
Like, you got these 4 lanes, you know, when you get on expressway or highway. 1, 2, 3, 4. Each one has a representation of speed.
Mm-hmm.
If you get in that last fourth lane, please.
Come on, furthest to the.
Yes, to the guardrail.
Furthest to the left.
Make sure you're doing the speed limit or pass. And if you know you're not driving fast, just don't cut in front of nobody and forget to put your signal on. There's a lot of people not putting their signals on for nothing. Even if you're in just a regular local residential area. Or even in the mall. Even in the parking lots at the grocery store. Anywhere. People just nilly-willy just jump in front of people. Be cautious when you're out here. I know we got a lot on our mind. I know we stress people. Just relax. Don't be driving like Grandma Grits. Relax. Stay at home. Get an Uber.
This is some good advice. Yeah, go fast in the fast lane. Makes sense.
Yeah.
I am not a fan of automated customer service agents. Yeah, just when you have to call. I'm already having a call. I don't care to call people. I'm a millennial. I don't care. You know, I'm a texter. Sure. Email me. Make a quip. But now that I have to call people and talk to customer service, I don't want to talk to a person. I don't want to talk to the robot that's trying to redirect me and get me off the phone who can't hear me or they're not understanding what I'm saying, even though I'm speaking clearly and slowly. I'm trying to figure out how to repeat that. Or listen to all the options as the menu has changed. How many times y'all changed the menu? Okay. Y'all need to get y'all system straight and chill out with all the updates to the menu so I don't have to listen to a million options. Once you go past, you know, digits 1 through 0 and you have to hit star and pound, you're doing too much. You simplify, make it easier for everybody, get your process in order, and maybe not use the bot so much if the bot doesn't know what you did, what you updated. Now I'm telling the bot one thing, and the bot is like, do you want billing? And I said, no, customer service. That's not what I said. But yeah, I'm done with the bots. I'm done with the bots already. That's where I'm at. I know we talk about technology and things. How can help us, you know, make it easier. I'm not a fan of saying with the customer service bots. They're not ready yet. Y'all need to take them back. Reprogram them and then try it again. It's not right now.
I'm tired of them telling me what app I could use for the service. That's why I called you, so you can keep your job. If I wanted to use the app, I would have did it.
They could keep their job.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it. I don't mind using it for convenience. But that's don't give me that only option, because sometimes I have some other things I need to ask a human person. Sometimes it's not on the app, I'm telling you, because I have looked on the app.
Yeah, that's what I said. Get your processes in order and don't see me in all these different paths, and the paths don't connect with each other.
Oh, I'm sorry we're having a confusion. I'm sorry we're having a problem. I'm like, what? Are you listening to my side of the phone? You're supposed to listen to my TV show.
Have you ever had an automated service hang up on you because they said, I'm sorry, goodbye.
Goodbye. Going into our main discussion.
Yes, we are talking about parenting today and just what's going on with a lot of stories. Also, just like a general feeling. Are the kids being disrespectful? Or are they not being heard? Like, what's really going on? The first story that, you know, we're calling into this discussion today is, I know you all have seen it. A lot of times, King Harris has had different run-ins on social media with people critiquing, you know, his behavior. You know, he had the altercation at the Waffle House. And then this recent viral moment with him and his father, his parents, really. While he was recording on live, he and his father got into a physical altercation. But the thread with King Harris is that, you know, he's spoiled and ill-mannered. Basically just like a rich, spoiled brat. But with that viral altercation, a lot of what T.I. was saying was like, don't embarrass your family. You know, you're embarrassing yourself and your family. Again, let's not do this. And so just talking about that and some more details about that. There have been a lot of news stories covering this. And even more recently, T.I. went and crashed a event space that was promoting basically a club outing with imagery showing King and T.I. You know, T.I. had his arm wrapped around King and promoting it, but T.I. shut it down. Some of his people, he was like, nothing's going on tonight. At this event because y'all are trying to promote something that isn't funny and it's not to be taken lightly, which I understand. But a lot of people are calling into question, why is this a repeat between King and his parents? And a lot of people point to the fact that King has been said to, you know, have been raised by his grandmother, Tiny's mother, and that being a role in why he wants to be for the streets. They have gone on different talk shows since this viral altercation and said they have reconciled between the two of them. But it does make people wonder and question, as we do with a lot of celebrity news. A lot of people, you know, see themselves and have conversations about themselves, community, in light of these current events because they're so public. But they do mimic a lot of what is also going on in different families and households and reflective of how some people relate to their parents or relate to their kids or don't, or really to their family and extended family. Because a lot of people have talked about, you know, yeah, I spent a lot of time at my grandma's house. That's just what we did. I spent summers at my grandma's house, or, you know, we didn't, or, at, you know, we grow up and we haven't had a all cousins, you know, sleepover. It's been a while. And how different generations are taking on the role of being, you know, grandmas, aunties, and uncles, and having to cook out or not, and how those things have changed. So now we're just wondering, like, where has all this gotten us? What's going on with family and parents and closeness of community? And just, like, what's going on with all of that?
It's a lot. It's a lot. I think we don't have the time and space when we need to just sometimes slow our everyday lives down. You know, you might have to make a schedule for that. You know, when you see your kid moving around different, hello, how you doing, coming from school, slow down and say, wait a minute, what's going on with you today? Ask them, you know, because check their book bags and look around and, or put a note in there and say, I'm here for you. Because, you know, we all communicating on what? The cell phone, the tablet, the PC, the game system, some kind of other way that we're not physically giving that hug or that kiss on the forehead or the arm or just a hug. You know, you might text, I love you, X and O's. I do it, you know, but sometimes I need to physically hold my adult children. I need to hug them. I need to hug my little grandchildren to let them know that I'm going to breathe life into you when nobody else can, except for Jesus or whatever you believe in. But I think he's going through a lot. I think they, you know, they're doing great in their careers or whatever, T.I. and Tiny, but somewhere he missed them. And I don't think they're hearing him. That's why he likes to go over grandma's house. It's probably low key, comfortable, whatever. And at home, you in a big house, not saying they're there, you know, like Luther song or A House Without a Home, the chairs or the chair, if nobody's sitting there, you know, it's just there. Just like you go in your house. You know when there's no love in the house until mommy come home or big mama come in the house or big papa, somebody coming in there. It's a difference now. I mean, I don't know if the COVID did it. It's just different.
Yeah, that's true. He mentioned that, you know, we did have this big house and there's nothing to do. And T.I. was like, well, that's where, you know, you take your imagination and you figure things out. But you do have to give kids structure in general. I think that's something that just is helpful. You got to remember, it's a kid's first time here. They're experiencing a lot of things for the first time. And there's a level of patience that you have to have in raising a little person. And I think you don't have to be a parent to understand or know that children need patience. They need love. They need quality time in addition to the basic needs that need to just be covered. It's more than giving them a house, giving them food, clothes, and their back. It's more than that. It takes that emotional intelligence of the parent to know that, you know, I need to show them love in more ways than just buying them that. And it takes a healed parent to know that I have the capacity to provide and cover their basic needs in addition to give them that quality time and love and affection, in addition to be able to take care of myself and my entire family. And that's a lot to consider when you're having a child, even if you have the financial means to have a kid. There are other things that go into having that child and raising that person in this society. In any country or place, there are things that you have to consider when you're having a kid. And I think it can show that lack of consideration when you look at how different people raise their kids. And I know a lot of conversations go to like a generational identity of people, like how they say millennials are this, you know, Gen Z is this, boomers were like this, but it's like, I think we underestimated what it takes to, what it means to have a kid because of societal demands. Like, parents got to go to work. People have to go to work to live. And now that cost of living is up, but wages aren't, you have to work more. And so if you have to work more, you have less time in your day for yourself, let alone a kid. So I think societally, we should have a conversation about sex, kids, parenting, all that stuff. We need to have some updated conversations about what it means to have a fulfilling life and what does that mean to then provide that for the next person.
Correct.
Especially when we've had changes in access to certain resources in order to make that decision.
Yeah.
Or not, whether or not to have kids.
Yeah, because, I mean, nobody comes with an instruction book, even to be an adult. But I think sometimes if you listen to the young man, King, he's trying to let his parents know, pause a minute. And he's not saying he don't love them. He loves his parents. But it's like, y'all don't get the picture.
Right.
Because sometimes you can give somebody a brand new toy, but guess what? They'll play with the box before they even play with the toy. Mm-hmm. Or the toy gets old 2 or 3 days. They'll be like, okay, and what else you going to give me?
Yeah.
And you just got to spend that time with them. One-on-one. One-on-one is a must. Mm-hmm. If you want a success, a peace of mind, and prayers, you know, it's not easy. At no means is easy.
Mm-hmm.
No means. And, you know, who am I to say how to raise your kid? That's on you. But the outcome can be influenced from who your kid is around. And we start the influence. It starts at home. But you got to make it a home to start in. That's all I'm saying. Because we don't have no big brothers, big sisters, substitutes to fulfill that need and love if the parent is there living and want to be a part of the child's life. Because some people just move around their children to make all the money. And just make that beautiful picture. You know, I've seen those pictures. Say cheese. And we move right along.
Yeah, I think that's why I haven't, I've given it thought just in as I've gotten older to the idea of, like, what it would be like to have a kid and stuff like that. And I don't, at this time, want a kid. I think I've said that before.
You have.
But, yeah, I don't want to bring a child, a black child, into this society, let alone a child into this world, knowing what I would need to give to the child, and then making sure that their father, their other parent, has what they need to also pour into the child. Because parents really do affect their children in so many ways, intentional and unintentional. And so it's a lot of work to be a parent. And so when you see kids like King act out, my first question is, what is that kid trying to say? What are they trying to communicate? Because we can all look from where we are sitting, but we're not, you know, we don't, they're like any celeb, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. But like you said, he is acting out for attention. Why is he looking for that attention and looking for that affection, that connection? And he's, you know, made posts and things talking about how you trying to show the world that we're cool, but we're not. And so it's like, for a teenager, because he's 19, you know, I don't know how old I thought he was, but I didn't know it was 19. But 19 is still a teenager. He's a late teen, about to be in his 20s. That's still, like, young. Like, to be still trying to process a lot of the feelings you have in such a public space that he's in because of their situation. Both his parents are celebrities. They've had their own things going on in the news. And you can look up different videos and things where they had the Family Hustle show. You can look at different ways they talked about parenting, especially like T.I. and things that we've seen in the news where he was talking about, you know, he took his daughter to the doctor to see if her hymen was still intact and talking about, why are you telling us that? And so that's just one example of how they view parenting that you may or may not disagree or disagree with, but it's like having those kind of public conversations. And then when your child chooses to have a public conversation about how they feel about you parenting them, it's a problem. You've done it, so why can't they do it? You know that. And he's probably feeling like, that's how I'm going to get a response, similar to how Romeo aired his family's quote-unquote dirty laundry with his beef with his dad, Master P. And they said they reconciled earlier this year, but that was after years of him saying, you know, my dad financially sacked me and wasn't really a dad to me. He was more of a manager. He brought that to social media and the public platform because he didn't feel like he was being hurt. So it's just that question of, like, being able to also listen to your kid, I think, is a big one.
It is. You know, I don't know, everybody is on the soundboard, oh, he's so disrespectful. Okay, think about sometimes when you were disrespectful to big mama, your parent, your dad, even if you wasn't there, or mom, or living in the household, when you were disrespectful, even if you said it in your mind. So sometimes we got to pause and think. When somebody brings this to their attention or to the forefront, we don't need to know. You making this kind of money? Y'all get some therapy.
Right. So I was saying, like, how it reflects on a lot of people have these kind of relationships with their parents. And I think we could benefit from larger conversations or examples of how parents can have these conversations with their kids, because not everybody's going to have resources to therapy or a role model that's actually positive, or even communal support with raising a kid. I know people talk about, you know, we've said it takes a community to raise a child, but like when you dig deeper into that, it takes community for the parent to have that support to raise that child. So it goes both ways, for the child to have support and for the parents to have support.
Exactly.
And a lot of that comes and should be and is developed before the child comes into the picture. But when you think about all the stuff that we have going on as a society and where we're going with, like, people are just, I feel, a lot more meaner on social media than what I remember or just growing up. And a lot of that, I feel, is trickling out more outward and spilling into the real world because of we're all facing a lot of things that are difficult and...
It's in your face.
In your face. And we've been dealing with a lot for a long time without processing it or talking about it. And I think it's a lot to process and live our daily lives. Not that we aren't doing it individually, but like a greater relief is needed.
Like the skeletons are finally coming out of the closet and you can't keep sweeping it up under the rug.
Yeah, the chickens come home to roost and we don't know what to do with the chickens or the eggs. And some people make an omelet. Some people are just holding their egg. Some people eggs crack.
Some eggs are spoiled.
Some people try and dye their eggs.
Some eggs are rotten.
It's a lot of stuff going on.
It's what? Where the golden egg?
But definitely, I think it, like we were talking about, I think last episode, just getting back into building community, positive community, consuming positive things, and finding ways to give back within your means while also taking care of yourself and your family. And just listening. Taking
That's
time
so
to listen.
Simple. And we talked about that. What? Listen.
And just shifting gears a little bit, you wanted to talk to about a local story. The family of the 15-year-old that was unfortunately stabbed to death. High school, a local high school, they said they hold no ill will while they're grieving the loss of their child. More about the story, what unraveled a story with around stabbing. Three teens were getting altercations, seemed like they were bullying one of the students. And the one student who was getting bullied had brought a knife to school to defend himself and ended up actually stabbing two students that were in altercation with him. And one of the students did succumb to those injuries. The other student had serious injuries but was in the hospital. And the student that is now was a suspect in the stabbing will now be tried as an adult because he was 14-year-old, and that was just the decision made by the Attorney General based on the North Carolina law that requires that for first-degree murder. But the story is just all around sad. The mother of the suspect was talking about that day of the stabbing. She was trying to warn the school that he had been bullied and that he was concerned for his safety when she sent him to school, and that they needed to get to him before the fight even took place. So they have video that shows, you know, the altercation that went down and him wildly swinging the knife at the two students that were striking him, and then him walking away from the fight as, like, you know, the other kids were running and following the fight. Police said, yeah, the fight did involve several students, but they didn't have the exact number that was involved. The school will be allowing few kids to still go to school that day, but I think at like a simpler schedule so that they can receive counseling and free lunch that day. But yeah, it's just a lot and it's sad. She said the mother of the suspect was saying that he was acting in self-defense. And she had been concerned for his safety.
And that's another thing, you know, when the child comes home and talk to the parents or let someone know at school or a authority figure, the principal, the teacher, I think they hear and there's so much going on in their heads trying to remind themselves to tell someone, and things escalate. Because, you know, by the time your child get off a school bus or out the car into the school, or something happened last year to this year, somebody brings it up and you got two against one, you're going to be scared. I think about when I was in school, even though it was years ago, but you know how it feels when somebody's threatening you and you're like, I'm going to get you off of me. I'm tired of it. What can you do? You have all the metal detectors, all the police, clear book bags, whatever you're trying to do. But we got to get back to some kind of love and protection and talk to these kids and let them know that there's somebody there to slow this down. And sometimes it's hard to catch up with the other parent when you're trying to have a parent-teacher's meeting. I've been on that myself. And you get frustrated. And you want your child to feel good to go to school or feel safe to go to school. Because who wants to be waking up every day, somebody in your face? And sometimes you don't have brothers or sisters at the school, attending the school with you, just to have that oversee that little extra eye or a cousin. You don't have it. You don't want anybody calling you a punk, you a chump, you scared. Oh, what's going down with you? You scared? Or then you got to get on the school bus to get in a fight. It's too much going on. Yeah, it's making me mad. I don't like to see it. I really don't.
Yeah, it's a lot. Because we hear a lot about how teachers are resigning because they, you know, aren't getting paid enough and they don't have the support. They have class sizes that are too big for them to effectively teach. And then when you add in bullying and kids who are coming from homes that are going through a lot and they are coming to school trying to find things they aren't getting at home, they're not focused on learning. And I've been in class environments where you could tell I'm here and present to learn, and I'm like just happy to not be at home, because sometimes school was exciting because, you know, you get to see your friends, you're talking, and it's like, oh, can't wait for lunch so I can, you know, check my girls. But I also do remember being in class and being distracted by other students who were going through stuff, going off at the teacher, cousin yelling, trying to fight, throw books, all this kind of stuff, and how distracting that was, but also just looking at teachers who did quit or were just tired because they didn't know what to do. And there are schools that are able and have, like the school I came from, the high school I came from, has reportedly turned around how they handle disagreements between students and bullying. And, you know, kids who are coming from households that are going through a lot, finding different ways and programs to fill in the gaps. But that's a lot for a teacher to be taking on by themselves and then for parents to take on when they are, like we said, overworked and doing their best. And sometimes, like we said, kids fall through the cracks. So just like we were saying, that need for some kind of reckoning with us doing more for our vulnerable, some of the most vulnerable people in our society, which I think are kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't ask to be here, and they're still trying to figure out this earth thing, this living. And we aren't giving them the best world to do it in or the best environments to grow up and love and show or even have space to figure out what they want to do without also having to worry about what's going to happen to them when they go to school. School used to be a safe place to go. I mean, yeah, you might have to fight somebody or, you know, stand up for yourself. Like, it's a lot of stuff the kids are facing today that I didn't have to face. Teachers are also having to face too. And parents. Dang, we got to do better by these kids.
We got to do better by these kids. I remember when my kids would come home and talk about fighting. And yeah, we've said it. You go back to school and you straighten they what out. And tell the teacher. And I have been to the school and talked to the teacher. We got a problem coming. Well, we're going to try to do this with soft talk, blah, blah, blah. This is 2024. This has been going on for a minute. Now it's worse. Kids are just tired. They're just tired. Because you just don't know how that impacts a person. That makes them so tense. They can't even think about going to school. They be like, okay, I want to make mom and daddy and grandma and them happy, you know. I'm going to go to school. But in the back of their mind, they can't even sleep straight. They can't even think. They can't even eat their food. You be like, what's wrong? Oh, nothing. Because they see what's going on at home. Or they see mommy trying to work, trying to make things right. But in the back of their mind, they got this problem. And they're figuring out, they're going to solve it. I'm going to solve this problem. Because they're trying to take care of themselves. They're trying to, it might not be the right way. And sometimes it's the wrong way. And it's too late. And I don't want to see nobody's life taken. But it's sad.
Yeah.
It hurts my feeling for both sides. Because it's a loss. And that's when everybody sits back, what could we've done? Got to listen to these kids, you know. I know some parents have a hard time. I'm not making it easy for you either. You know, it's a two-way street. And the kid did not ask to be born. You got to sacrifice. As an adult, you have to sacrifice for your children.
Wellness check. Ring my bell, ring my bell, ding dong, ding-a-ling-a-ling, 80s.
Yeah, so one way you can beat the winter blues. I know this has been a heavy episode, but we're going to pick you back up with a reminder to check out some 80s and, of course, the 90s, but really some 80s fashion trends that are coming up, but also tap into some 80s music to get you grooving and just, you know, really vibe out.
The colors are back. The shades are back. I mean, they just really doing it. And some of the commercials I've been noticing is upbeat of, like, the lyrics. I mean, like, what? Let me see this commercial. I'm like, they're going back in the 80s. Even some of the little slang sayings that on some of the shows they're using that were back in the 80s. Some of the foods I've seen back in the 80s, like meatloaf. I mean, I know people still fix meatloaf. But now it's the classic meatloaf.
Yeah.
It's that comforting food.
Yeah, some of these items are in your closet. If you don't have them in your closet, you can always go to the thrift shop if you want to do that.
Yeah. Or,
you know, check and clearance, start in clearance and work your way up towards the sale, because we know there might not actually be a sale. But yeah, for some 80s vibe, you can try, you know, bold geometric prints. My favorite are the bold colors. You can also do metallic.
Mm-hmm.
Metallics. Beyonce definitely reminded y'all with that, with the silver and the platinum looks. Some other ways you can bring out some 80s in your fashion is with, like, futuristic looking shades as well. And these are all things you can do with what you have in your closet, or, like I said, go thrifting.
Mm-hmm. And those boots, those Rogaine boots coming back. Not so much the stilettos.
Mm-mm.
And the padded shoulders?
That's too far. I don't think we need padded shoulders.
Well, my shoulders are broad, but I like them on some people.
Your shoulders are fine. But yeah, we don't need shoulder pads. But you, if you want to do shoulder pads and broad shoulders,
I can do
that's
that.
Fine.
Okay.
I know people talk about, you know, they want to unbig their back.
Yeah.
So just tell them you got on shoulder pads.
And the side pockets, some people still call them cargo pants. Now they got extra pockets that's below the cargo pants pocket. I like that. And the bell bottoms, feeling it.
I feel like bell bottoms is 70s to me.
Yeah, but they're back.
Yeah, so, you know, find things that bring you joy so that you aren't falling into the trap of winter blues. Get some sun.
Yeah.
Make sure to take your vitamins. And when you go to your annual checkup, I know people do that around the new year, the end of the year. I do. That's just me.
Me too.
End of the year time, ask your doctor to check your vitamin levels so you see what you might need to be mixing into your diet.
And check your thyroids. That's right. Eat your greens.
Mm-hmm. Check your thyroids.
Drink your water.
Check all those things. Continue to moisturize.
Oh, definitely. In the winter. Isn't that something?
Which oils, not water-based.
You know, and you don't have to buy a lot of expensive stuff. And stay cute, stay handsome, smell good. And a lot of the perfumes are coming back, and the colognes. I was somewhere and I seen some Fahrenheit for men. I was like, what?
Fahrenheit?
Clinique Happy is coming back. Yeah. Red Door is coming back. I'm like, whoa. Now, my mom and them wore that, what is it, Estee Lauder White Shoulder? We're not going to talk. We're going to leave that over there on their dresser.
I don't know why we said that. My brain said Tussin.
Deodorant.
What is? I don't know why I say what Tussin.
And that's funny because, you know what? I used to pick at it. My grandmother had a little thing of Tussie. I was like, how do you put this deodorant on? My silly self, like a little kid. I didn't realize they had to open up, like put it up on their fingers because we were doing roll-on. I was like, that's nasty to me.
They had to touch it?
Yeah, they had to touch it. Oh. It was cream. But now, they have it in a roll-on. They still making that stuff.
Tussie.
No, we got to ask.
What you wear? That's Tussie. That's Tussie, girl.
No, we're not going to do that. Feel good, smell good, take care of yourself. Enjoy yourself on this winter is coming. Holidays coming up so you can look cute. Yes.
Yeah, have fun, take care.
That's the show. Where you can find us, Facebook and Instagram, at Talking Brown Sugar. Twitter at Talking Brown
Sugar.
Email talkingbrown.sugar@gmail.com. And guess what? YouTube at Talking Brown Sugar.
Yes. Don't forget to share, like the show. Give us 5 stars on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Let us know you're listening.
Whoop, whoop.
This has been another episode of Talking Brown Sugar.
I'm Angela, the mom.
I'm Raja, the daughter. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
We are out.